So here we are this evening for the final talk on the Parami of Patience, or Kanti. And as most of you know, but maybe the people who are new here for the first time don't know, that this year we're doing a series on the Paramis, and our topic for this past month has been the Parami of Patience. So we've spent 4 weeks now or more working with this Parami, you know, learning about the Parami and having some really great talks from our guiding teachers about what patience is and how we can cultivate it. And so I thought that tonight I would like to share with you some of the things that I've learned through my own working with this Parami of Patience, and then give you a chance to share with each other some of the things that you have learned over the past month. And since not everybody, as I said before, feels comfortable in a large group, and there isn't time for everyone to share anyway, we will have a little bit of time after I finish my talk for some small group sharing, and then we'll get back together at the end of that time for any comments or questions you'd have for the larger group. So I'll start with this sharing with myself. What have I learned from this month practicing with patience? Well, one of the things I definitely have learned is that this Parami of Patience isn't quite the same thing that we typically think about when we think of patience. And Tweri mentioned this in her introductory talk on patience at the beginning of the month. You know, she said about how patience is a pretty familiar concept for us. You know, we use that word all the time, and we think we have a pretty good idea of what patience means. You know, we think, you know, if we're patient, well, for one thing, we can wait. We can tolerate delays and difficulties without getting angry or getting upset, or at least we're willing to put up with the things that we don't like until they go away. Maybe inside we're upset, but we're not, you know, out there throwing a tantrum or something. And so in a way, we often think of it more like a quality that we have or we don't have. And if we don't have it, then we have to do something so we can get it. And so when we started our exploration of patience, my thinking was, you know, kind of along those lines. Like patience, I thought about it more as a trait that I had or I didn't have. And overall, you know, I didn't feel like I was a particularly impatient person, even though I do get impatient from time to time in certain situations. But to tell you the truth, this Parami wasn't right at the forefront of my practice because I didn't think of it so much as one of my problem Paramis, you know, one of the ones that I really, really struggle with. I didn't think, when I thought about patience, oh, this is something that I'm really terrible with this. I really need to work on it. This is just really an awful one for me. It was more like, you know, well, definitely not perfect. Definitely there's room for improvement, but not so terrible either. Not as bad as some of the other Paramis. So it was like, something that I could use some work on, but I had some patience. I wasn't so bad. But as I started learning more about patience and working with patience this month, I realized that that wasn't really such a helpful way to think about patience. As Carrie said in her talk, it's not I'm impatient and I have to get patient. That isn't really what it's about. But patience isn't a trait really so much as a practice of learning to work with the things that upset us in a way that doesn't add to our suffering. And one of the things that's really stuck with me over this month is that the Buddha said that patience was the supreme purification practice. And Ajahn Suchito, in his book on the Paramis, talks about this. And Carrie mentioned patience as a purification practice too. And really, the supreme purification practice is quite a statement. And it really says something about patience and the importance of patience. But what I found even more interesting and important was that, you know, as I thought about this, I realized that if patience is a purification practice, this suggests that there must be something there that needs to be purified when we're practicing patience. So in other words, we don't start practicing patience, this thing is kind of driving me crazy, from a mind state of calm and tranquility and just being not upset and everything's fine. You know, we really don't start there. We practice it when we're frustrated or we're angry or we're restless and we're not happy with whatever is happening, so we can learn how to free ourselves from all the suffering that's involved in those difficult mind states. In her book on the Paramis, Sylvia Boorstein says that patients can only be present in response to a visiting stress. So if it's only present in response to a stress, that suggests that when we're practicing patience, we're going to be feeling some stress, you know. If we didn't, we wouldn't even know that there was a stress. We wouldn't be in any kind of stress. So being patient doesn't mean that nothing upsets us. It's more that when things do upset us, we're willing to work with our feelings of difficulty and upset, to be still with them instead of being swept away by them. And so this is very much what Tweri talked about in her talks, what she instructed us to do, to notice the impatience and the frustration and the anger and the restlessness and whatever there might be there, and then be willing to pause, to just pause, to just stop for a moment and find some stillness in the middle of all this stuff that's driving us crazy, and let the mind settle itself in that stillness. And just as I mentioned in the meditation, Ajahn Suchito describes what Tweri was talking about as the restraint of holding the heart still in the presence of its suffering until it lets go of the ways in which it's creating that suffering. And that's a really nice description of patience, and it suggests that that exploration of that suffering is part of this whole cultivation practice. Or we might also say that patience is bringing mindfulness to our aversion and our craving and all our difficult emotions. So in a lot of ways, you know, cultivating patience is really just doing our practice. And whenever we're practicing mindfulness, we could say that we're cultivating patience. So I think, you know, a lot of times we tend to think of patience as being, you know, all about that external situation, you know, getting through it, getting over it. But in a lot of ways, it's even more about our internal situation and working with our own reactivity. And in that sense, since we're working with our own reactivity, it really is a purification practice. Purifying our minds of the hatred that we feel when we come up against something we don't like. Purifying our minds of the greed that we feel when we just can't wait to get on to that next thing that's going to be different, that's going to be better, that we really, really want. And so, you know, really, when you think about it, all of this time, whenever we're working with our aversion, with our craving, any of those things, it's a way of practicing patience, cultivating patience. And then delusion too. Delusion is part of this as well. And I know that when I think about patience and impatience, I'm usually thinking about frustration with a situation I don't like, or maybe the restlessness I feel when I'm longing for something I really want but that I don't have, at least not yet. You know, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get it. And I don't necessarily think very much about delusion. But really, it's delusion that lets us get caught up in these mind states of aversion and craving and all this stuff in the first place. And, you know, these states that really are part and parcel of this whole place of being impatient. And so, thinking of that, how delusion really gets us caught up in that, this made me think about some of the suggestions that Tim and Tweri gave us for cultivating patience, things to pay attention for. And they suggested that we really notice the assumptions that we're making when we get caught in patience. And for instance, some of the ones that especially resonated for me were getting caught in the conviction that our own agenda is the most important thing in the situation. So we're blind to the bigger picture. And on Sunday, when we had our Sunday sit, Jerry Harder told a nice story that he originally heard from Rodney Smith, our founding teacher, that really fits very well with this. And we weren't sure whether it was really Rodney this happened to or somebody told it to Rodney, but Jerry shared it as if it was happening to Rodney, so I'll, you know, do the same for you. So in any case, he was in the grocery store waiting in line, and one of the people in front of him had a little baby with her. And so she came up to the checkout counter, and the cashier just went wild over this baby, just was oohing and aahing and just obsessed with this baby, and went on and on and on, paying attention to the baby. And Rodney, he's sitting there, well, you know, yeah, baby is cute, but hey, there's all these people waiting to pay for their groceries, you know. How long is this going to go on? And she kept, you know, cuddling and, you know, clucking the baby under the chin, whatever, you know, she was doing, all worked up about this baby. And on and on, and he was like getting irritated and irritated. And then finally, this person with the baby left, and he got to get up to the cashier. And so the cashier said to him, "Thank you for your patience." And in a way, he was kind of embarrassed because he knew that really he didn't say anything, but inside he wasn't really very patient. But then the cashier said, "You know, my husband recently lost his job, so I'm having to come back to work full time. And so I really don't get to see my little daughter much at all during the day, unless some friend brings her by so I get to have a chance to, you know, visit with her. So I really appreciate your patience with letting me spend some time with her." And then when, of course, when Rodney heard this background in the bigger picture of this situation, all the impatience just left, you know. It was really clear what was going on, and everything was fine. It was quite a beautiful situation. So that's a nice example of when we just don't see that bigger picture. So another delusion we have is that feeling that this shouldn't be happening, that something's wrong because this is happening, and because something is going wrong, it's either going to be my fault that this is happening or somebody else's fault that this is happening. So this sort of, this is all wrong, I got to find someone to blame. That's another one that often comes up when we get impatient. And then there is the assumption that things should always be easy and always be pleasant. I mean, it would be nice, but we kind of know that isn't really true. Then there is that assumption that we really ought to be in control of this situation and we really ought to be able to fix it. Maybe sometimes we can, but Not necessarily. And then, of course, the assumption that we often feel when we're really impatient is, oh, this situation, it's never going to change. Never going to change. Or at least for sure, it's not going to change soon enough to suit us. So when we notice these lines of thought, you know, we really see our delusions coming up and feeding our impatience. And so it's important to recognize them and realize that, you know, none of these things really are quite true. So delusion is really there feeding our impatience. In her, another thing that Sylvia Boorstein says in her book on the Paramis is that when we cultivate patience, we're cultivating insight into impermanence and karma. Or as she puts it, we're learning to understand that this will change and that it cannot be other yet. So we're really undercutting these delusions we have that, you know, I just can't stand this. It's never going to end. It's never going to end. Or this shouldn't be happening. This can't be happening. You know, I mean, even though, in fact, it already is happening. So, you know. So we're really kind of, you know, in practicing patience, we start to see these delusions. And for me, that truth of karma, that it cannot be other yet, is one of the most important ones for my understanding. You know, this understanding that all things arise from causes and conditions. And, you know, whatever situation we're in, all sorts of things have come together to produce that particular moment, just as it is. And we might have had some control over some of the things, but other things that have contributed to the situation, you know, we couldn't have influenced them if we tried. And a lot of them, we didn't even have a clue that they were even there. And what has been especially helpful for me is recognizing that this, it cannot be other yet. It doesn't just apply to situations we're in out there in the world. It also applies to what's going on inside of us, what we're thinking and what we're feeling right now. So it's important to have that kind of understanding. And this brings me to something else I've been thinking about when it comes to patience, why it's really good that patience is showing up right now at this point in our study of the Paramis. And Tim and Carrie both talked about this and mentioned that the Parami of Patience shows up at just the right time in our cultivation of the Paramis. And Tim mentioned how patience pairs really well with energy, because as we cultivate energy, we can develop a sense of urgency about our practice in the sense that we really need to practice deeply. And that's a really good thing. But at the same time, we really need the patience to balance, you know, that force of will that can get going as a result of that energy, you know, that feeling we can have that, you know, we're going to make this happen and we're going to make it happen now. But, you know, in truth, we can't necessarily make it happen now. All things arise according to causes and conditions. And so we need to have the patience to be willing to let things unfold and not force them. And when it comes to practice, I think this is a really, really important lesson that we all have to learn. And that I think I know I've learned it, and most of us have to learn it by feeling how painful it is when we get so caught up in being determined that we're going to make this happen and we're going to make this happen on our own timeline for it to happen. You know, it just really, energy is good, but at a certain point, this kind of bearing down and efforting sort of is counterproductive, because we get so caught up in our idea of our progress and, you know, our practice is all about me. And if our practice is all about me, well, that's kind of defeating the purpose of our practice. So it's really good to have a sense of that. And Carrie also said something similar about how energy and effort can be really activating and encourage our aspirations. But patience helps us to acclimate to the way things actually are. So it's a nice balance, a beautiful sense of balance with these two paramis working together. And I think it's good to remember, too, that this teaching about karma and our limits of control, it doesn't just apply to what happens in our meditation on the cushion or to what happens when we go on retreat. It applies to our daily life, too. And all of the work that we've been doing this year to cultivate the paramis. And this especially makes me appreciate patience showing up where it is now, you know, at a time when we really need it. You know, over the past months, we've been making a lot of effort. We've been training to be generous. We've been training to be ethical. We've been practicing renunciation. We've been practicing restraint. We've been trying to cultivate wisdom. We've been trying to manage our energy. All of these things we've been working on. And sometimes, you know, things have gone pretty well. Other times, well, you know, not so much. When I think about generosity, for example, I can see that, you know, I really enjoy, you know, putting out a bag of food for the food bank to collect every month, something I found out I could do and started to do when we were working with generosity. But I also notice how, you know, in spite of all these good intentions that I'm trying to cultivate, I still get really irritated with the constant stream of requests for donations I get in the mail because I was generous earlier in the year. It's sort of like, okay, I gave you something. Give me a break, you know. So that I really still struggle with. Or when it comes to the precepts, I'm aware that in spite of my efforts, there are still plenty of times when I give into the temptation to cloud my mind. Not so much, you know, with drink or drugs, that isn't really the issue, but more with, you know, Netflix or novels or some other kind of distraction, you know, just letting myself zone out on somebody else's story instead of paying attention to what's going on in my own life. And usually doing it because there's something I would like to avoid doing or avoid thinking about. I just kind of want to be like, get away from it all. And sometimes, you know, we can do that and it isn't so bad, but I also recognize that it's not necessarily a very healthy pattern or habit. And I could give plenty more examples of my own, and I think you all have your own examples, too, of where some of this work is a struggle. It isn't easy, and we're not going to do it perfectly. And maybe there isn't any way we could do it perfectly because we're human beings. And yet, somehow, often we feel like we ought to be doing it perfectly. So Tim mentioned in his talk about wisdom that we really need to watch out for that idea that if we're really spiritual and we're doing this practice right, we'll never say or do anything that we shouldn't do or say. And even more than that, we'll never even feel any of those difficult emotions like anger or frustration or doubt or disappointment that might lead to us doing the kinds of things that we really shouldn't do. And really, I mean, let's face it, that is just not realistic. It isn't like that for anybody. I mean, maybe the Arhat way up there, but I think even there, I don't know. So we really need that parami of patience. Patience with ourselves, especially. With our limitations in this particular moment that are in our own hearts and minds. So, you know, it's not that we shrug things off or, you know, don't do anything. Of course, we keep working with our difficult emotions and our frustrating habits. But I think we also really need to recognize that it takes time to change these things. And it doesn't always happen according to our own schedule. You know, it's so easy to identify with our progress in practice or with what we're doing, whether good or bad, and get caught up in our ideas about who we are and who we ought to be. And so the more we understand that sense of karma, that all things arise according to causes and conditions, the more we recognize that, you know, really, it isn't all about me. And when we see that, that it isn't all about me, it isn't all my fault or all my blame or all my credit, it's much easier to find some patience. It isn't quite so personal. It's just the way it is as a human being. In his book on the Paramis, Ajahn Suchito, who it seems like we love Ajahn Suchito, we're always quoting Ajahn Suchito. He says that, at least in the Sunday set, we're always quoting Ajahn Suchito. He says that although we can intellectually understand that, you know, holding on, expecting things to always be satisfying, and feeling cheated when they don't go our way, all of those are immature responses, or we might say deluded responses. We can see that on a certain level. But if we want to undo those kinds of attitudes, we first have to be patient with them. We have to really get to know them, feel them clearly, understand them, and really see for ourselves that what we assume isn't true. Not only on the level of kind of recognizing it because it makes sense intellectually, but on a really deep level. And that takes time. Really knowing these things takes time. Takes time to undo all of that conditioning from our lifetimes and, you know, all the history of the human race, really, and even past lives, maybe, if you are open to that. A lot of conditioning to undo. So one last thing I'd like to talk about a little bit is what I noticed about situations where it was hard for me to be patient and situations where patience was more accessible. And you might have found this too in your own efforts to find patience. And in some ways, it's kind of has to do with the delusions that come up, you know, the ones that come up the most for me. And one of the things I find is that if I can recognize that a situation is really out of my control and there isn't anything I can do about it, I'm more willing to actually practice patience. Like if I'm stuck in traffic, for example, or in a long line at the grocery store, I'm at the airport and my flight is delayed. You know, after a certain amount of grumbling and complaining, which, you know, I'll do, usually I will accept that this is the way things are right now and begin to do the things that might help me to actually work with the situation. Maybe being willing to pause and be mindful of my frustration and find some space around it, find some stillness within it. Maybe starting to pay attention to what's actually happening around me, other things that are going on in my environment, instead of just being caught up in all my irritated thoughts. And let's see, I guess I have time. Another example of where I've been able to practice patience is with body pain on retreats. And some of you may have this also, so you might be able to relate to this. And so when I'm on retreat, you know, fairly often, not all the time, but it comes and goes, I have some pain in my back and in my shoulders. And when I first started to practice, and for quite a while, really, I have to admit, this really frustrated me. You know, I'd ask myself when this back pain came up, you know, the meat hooks, they call them sometimes, that back pain in your shoulders. I'd ask myself, why is this happening? When is it ever going to go away? What am I doing wrong? I must be doing something wrong to have this pain. My retreat is ruined, on and on, you know, all this, blah, blah, blah. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But eventually, after going through this enough times, I learned to accept that this was just something that happens sometimes. And so once that acceptance began to come in there, my relationship with the pain really changed. So it's quite different now. I don't worry about it so much. I just work with it as best I can. You know, if I can be mindful of the sensations when the pain is there, I do that. See that it isn't always the same. If I need to shift my position or move to a chair, maybe I do that. And of course, I don't like having pain in my back. But neither do I feel that it's there because I'm doing something wrong and I have to fix it, or that it's just horrible and unbearable and ruining my whole life. I can recognize it as unpleasant, but a lot of that other reactivity, it's, you know, not there so much. You know, there's a sort of being able to just sort of be kind of calm with it. And, you know, it's a matter of that understanding really sort of seeping through somehow over time that, yeah, this just comes up sometimes because those are the conditions. It's not personal. It's not really about me. It's not going to last forever. And it really helps to see that. So I think some of things like that, you know, it can be, something can be unpleasant, and yet we can learn to kind of be okay on a certain level in our mind with it. But of course, I don't always see those things. I'm not always able to be so wise about my situation. When I don't see that and I feel like I really should be able to control what's happening, and especially when I have this idea that whatever is happening is somehow a reflection on me and means that I'm good or bad or this or that, then I really have a hard time being patient. And this is especially comes up especially commonly when I'm doing something I think I ought to be able to do well, but in fact it's, you know, not really going all that well. And let's face it, if we have perfectionistic tendencies, it's really easy to get those feelings about just about any situation. And so if I don't notice those assumptions that I'm making, that this should be easy, that it should go well, that I should get results, that I should get more and more skillful, well, I get frustrated. I get impatient with myself. Maybe I'll get discouraged and just give up. And, you know, that attitude of, if you can't do it right, then don't do it at all. You know, that kind of mentality. But this attitude, I mean, of course, you know, this is really unhelpful. And it's so wrong, too, because you can't expect that things are always going to be easy and go well. And if we're learning to do something that we don't know how to do so much, you know, of course there's going to be mistakes. So one of the things I've really learned to appreciate over this month is, you know, it's really good to have hobbies or interests or things that you like to do that you aren't really, you know, all that good at, or at least not as good as you think you should be or would like to be. And, you know, lately almost everything I do feels like it's in this category, you know, like ballet class I go to, or playing the piano, or my yoga class, or gardening, I mean, which of course is in a whole nother level of uncontrollability besides what I do with the slugs and the deer and the weeds and all that. But in any case, you know, with all of these activities, There are times when I just can't do what I would like to do or what I think I ought to be able to do. And as I get older, I realize that in some cases, I'm never going to be able to do these things that I'd like to do and think I should be able to do. My body is just not going to do it anymore. And I could get frustrated and give up. And sometimes I do, you know, for that day. But I'm learning that it's really a practice, you know, to forget about all those standards and all those expectations and to just keep going and let things be the way they are for this day and this moment. You know, to forget about myself and forget about that image of myself as being skillful or successful or improving. Just be present for what I'm doing in this moment. And also be present with the discomfort of not getting it right and not liking not getting it right when that happens, as it inevitably does. And, you know, really, that's patience. That's really a place of cultivating patience. And I think I'm kind of, well, I have a little bit of time, I think, for our small groups. So another situation I wanted to mention where patience is difficult, and this is one I think we all might be struggling with these days with everything that's going on in the world, is a situation where we feel really strongly that the situation we're called to be patient with is something that really is wrong and harmful and shouldn't be happening. And if we feel like that, you know, it feels as if being patient is like saying, well, you know, this is okay, when clearly it really is not okay. But as Ajahn Suchito says in his book, patience is not just being resigned to the difficulties of life, and it doesn't mean that suffering is all right. And of course, there are times when we are impatient because we're so attached to our own point of view that we can't see the bigger picture. And it's good to recognize it, and it's good to be aware of that. But there are also times when, you know, our assessment is spot on, and what we feel is harmful and wrong is harmful and wrong. And so, you know, practicing patience doesn't mean that we have to throw our discernment out the window. And so in these kind of situations, what I find myself having to remind myself of over and over, that when I'm practicing patience, what I'm really practicing with isn't so much this situation, but with my own hatred and my own anger about it. So that when I am able to go and take some kind of action, when it's appropriate to take action, it doesn't come out of this sense of, you know, rage, but out of some kind of understanding of what might really help. The Buddha said that hatred is never ended by hatred, but by love. And this is a really high bar, a really high bar. And I know that in many situations, I'm not going to have a lot of hope of really getting all the way to love. But maybe at least I can find enough calm that I don't lash out and make things even worse. And it's not easy, you know, not least of all because sometimes that righteous indignation can, you know, feel pretty empowering and feel pretty good. But the truth is that we all recognize that being trapped in our anger, even if we feel like we're right about that anger, isn't really good for anybody. So those are some of my thoughts after a month of exploring this parami of patience. And you'll have a little time to share some of yours with each other in a moment. But before we do this, let's just sit for a minute, and I'll close with the words of Shantideva. There is no evil greater than anger, and no virtue greater than patience. Therefore, I should strive in various ways to become familiar with the practice of patience. Thank you all so much for your kind attention tonight. And so now we'll have a little bit of time for you to share your thoughts about patience with each other. So I'd like you who are in the room today to get into groups of like about three people, groups that aren't too big. We'll have about 15 minutes or so to do this. And then just take a little time to share with each other what you've learned this month about patience. And it could be, anything that comes up, some truth about it, something about what works to cultivate it, where your biggest struggles are, what you've learned about patience. And as you do this, let each person have their opportunity to speak, if they wish to speak. And when everyone has had their chance to speak, if you want to have a more free-flowing conversation, you can go ahead and do that, remembering to talk to each other kindly and respectfully. It seems like you must have had a lot to talk about. It was pretty lively sounding room. So now we have a little bit of time before we close to give you the opportunity to share, if you would like to, with the larger group, maybe some of the things that came up in your discussion, things that you learned that you would like to tell us about. So if anyone would like to share, microphone, yeah. So you can.
Hey there.
Hi.
I'm Adam. One of the things that I noticed practicing with this, I was talking a little bit with my group about it, is that trying to practice in more subtle or mundane ways, I was using the example of I go into my emails to send something, I see a bunch of flags of things I want to follow up on, and I'm like, oh, I don't feel good about that. And maybe I'm going to go check the news instead. And I recognize there's an opportunity for patience in the form of not procrastinating, mm-hmm. Sitting with that. And maybe mm-hmm. I do that for 10 seconds and then go check the news. And it's like, oh, nah, not there. But when something more significant or more acutely painful comes up, I noticed I had much more capacity to be like, oh, wow, this is a big upheaval and I'm going to actually sit here and wait for this kind of storm to pass. Mm-hmm. And I was really impressed with how well and how good that felt to allow those bigger storms to pass. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on how to cultivate more of that patience for the more mundane
things,
forms of impatience and suffering.
Yeah. Well, what you say is really interesting because it sounds like on, some level with these big storms, you realize that, wow, here is something where I really need to use all the resources I can to cope with this thing. So, that's interesting right there, because I know too that it could be in certain situations where there was a big challenge and something was really painful, another person might just totally fall apart, So that's actually good that there's
I've done that too, yeah. On occasion, yes.
But that sense of wisdom of recognizing this is really an important thing. But I don't know. I mean, maybe one thing, I don't remember now who said this. I think it was one of the people teaching in Sundays. Maybe it was Jerry yesterday, but talked about when I'm impatient, I'm missing my life. And so that might be something to think about with these more mundane things, to realize, that when you just pass over these mundane things you know, with the kind of restless way and just get him out of the way, just have that thought, I'm missing my life with this impatience. So that might be helpful.
Yeah, I really like that. Thank you.
It was nice. It was a nice comment he made. Is anybody out in Zoom world that would like to speak? Oh, somebody's raising their hand. Let's see. Eileen, I guess, wants to. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Aloha, and thank you very much for your talk. Really appreciate it. I was mentioning to my group that the challenge for me is, sure, it makes sense to have patience. It's a great virtue. How do I do it? So the how-to part is what gets hard for me. And then I was thinking, and you can correct me if this is not correct, but maybe impatience is just a fabrication of the mind. And if I stop inventing impatience with attitudes and beliefs, then patience might arise much more naturally. Does that make any sense?
I think that might be true in the sense of attitudes and beliefs that really are not true, kind of fueling the impatience. So I think that's true. I think if you really question some of those attitudes and beliefs that fuel the impatience, then patience might more naturally arise, because you will have this understanding that, you know, this is the way that it is right now, and there'd be more acceptance there. So I think that sense of questioning your assumptions is really, really a helpful one, and recognizing where you're allowing this delusion to lead you into this feeling of impatience, even though it isn't really based on anything that's really true about the way things are. So yeah, I think that's I think you're onto something with that. Thank you. Let's see, anybody else in the room here?
Yeah, I guess I was just saying that it's interesting for me. A lot of times my impatience is related to expectations. I don't know if I have spent too much time on Instagram or what, but I seem to expect pretty often that like interesting things and snippets are going to be happening pretty regularly in front of me. And I think like meditating is kind of funny and kind of grounding for me, because I'll be okay and even interested and have my attention held, you know, for 30 or 40 minutes breathing. And then I'll be like all bored talking to my coworker or talking to or watching cars zoom past or waiting in line, when like objectively that's way more interesting than like I was just sitting in a dark room focusing on my breath for like 40 minutes, you know. But the expectations are different in that instance. And so I guess that juxtaposition is kind of ironic for me.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. And I think that, you know, maybe one of the things that it shows is the power of really paying attention, which you're doing when you're meditating and noticing the sensations of the breath, when you actually really bring your attention to something, that interest comes. Whereas with these other things, it's sort of like, I'm kind of paying attention, I'm kind of not paying attention, it's whizzing past. It's, yeah. So I think the power of attention really makes a difference in terms of our interest and our ability to be with something, you know, which you could call as being patient. Yeah, so thank you. That was a very interesting observation.
One of the Brandon in our group mentioned, you know, impatience when driving, and that's a big one for me. And you had talked about mind state, you know, that our mind state, you know, contributes. And And he has a practice where he says metta for the other drivers and for the traffic. And I'm going to start doing that. I think it will help.
That's a really, so really you, good practice. Yeah, I do that practice too. And in traffic and in grocery lines. I think it's a really good practice. Thank you for sharing that. Let's see. Just check if anybody on Zoom would like to say anything. Okay. Let's see. Are there announcements tonight? Not this week. Okay. So then I don't have to, you know, we have time for a couple more people if you have something you would like to share.
Yeah, I think in our group, we all connected impatience with the urge to fix stuff, with that compulsive fixing and talking about situations that you can't fix. Gardening, child raising. You can't fix it, so the circumstance, the activity, the life thing that's happening with us teaches us patience, because it's just coming to terms with the stuff we want to fix, but it's impossible to fix it. Then you just have to, that puts you in touch with the reality of what's there, and the fixing urge is, well, that's, you talked about delusion. The fixing urge is delusional. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That is so, so, so true. And I think we all have those kind of real life situations where we just come up against it. And as you say, you know, you can't fix. You can't change. This is the way it is. And it teaches us patience. So thank you. Good observation and good examples. Okay. Well, it looks kind of quiet out there, so maybe this is a good time. We just have a few more minutes left, so maybe it would be good to go ahead with our closing and take a few moments to share the merit of our practice. And thank you all for your really great comments. I bet there was a lot more interesting things that happened in the small groups, but, you know, of course, there isn't time for everybody to share, and not everybody likes to speak. So, but I'm glad I got to hear some of them. Really nice comments and thoughts. So let's sit quiet just for a few moments here. Taking some time to share the merit of our practice, the goodness that's generated from coming together like this. Maybe bringing to mind someone that is close to you that especially needs some support right now. And wishing for this person, may they share in the merit of our practice and find peace and patience in their life situation. And then letting that wish to share extend from this particular person to all beings, those near to us, those far from us. May all beings, wherever they are, share in the merit of our practice this evening. May we all feel the goodness that's generated from our being together tonight. And may our hearts be peaceful and at ease.